The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Zion, Alabama. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.
I want to welcome you today to the Gospel of Grace podcast. This podcast is an outreach of Zion Primitive Baptist Church near Gordo, Alabama. I'm Chris McCool, and I serve as pastor of Zion Primitive Baptist Church. We are a congregation where families worship together through the simple practice of preaching, praying, and singing. We would love to have you worship with us in person sometime. The church address is 9487 County Road 49, Gordo, Alabama. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and the first and third Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. In Jeremiah 6 and verse 16, God tells his people to ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein. But where do we find the old paths? Do we go back to the way our parents did it? Do we go back to our grandparents' day? Or must we go back even farther than that? As we continue today in our study in Nehemiah, we'll learn that until we go all the way back to the Word of God, we haven't gone back far enough. When Nehemiah and Ezra brought the people of God together to worship after the completion of the walls, they took them back to the book of the law and discovered that they had not been worshiping correctly since the days of Joshua. Join us as we see how important it is to get back to the book in order to worship God correctly.
If you have friends in glory land, who let me cross a pain, there'll be no pain in glory land. There's suffer not.
don't know about you, but these storms lately that we've seen come through, that seems like every few days the power goes off because they're blowing trees down. Sometimes it's destroying buildings. There's a couple of houses between here and Gordo that are completely destroyed. They're going to have to tear them down because of these storms. And those houses, that one particular house, has been standing down there most of my life. I guess all of my adult life, it's been standing there. It looked pretty permanent to me. Looked pretty much like it'll just always be there. But you know, you ever driven by somewhere and you see an old house, maybe 100 years old, maybe older than that, and everything's kind of grown up around it, and the roof's fallen in, and it looks, you think, boy, that's just a shanty house, right? There's not much to it. But there was a time somebody lived in that house. There's a house over here on 159 on some land I own that I talked to the former owner about how he used to visit over there. It was his grandfather's house. They had great times over there, and the roof has fallen in. It looks like there's no way anybody could ever have lived in it. But, beloved, somebody lived there, and somebody flourished there. But it was as permanent as the structure appeared to be. It was a temporary structure. As permanent as this building appears to be that we're in tonight worshiping, it is a temporary structure. It would only take one tornado to blow it all away. And it would only take several decades, or maybe 100 years of time and neglect for it to just fall in. We're living in a wilderness. We're dwelling in booths. Booths, temporary dwelling places. Our home that our children grew up in, and that they, we were talking the other day, I can't remember which ones, maybe Ashley might have been part of it. I think Meredith was there. And they said, well, you know, we don't want to be morbid, Mom and Dad, but what do you think's going to happen to the house one day when y'all are gone? I said, they know something I don't. What's up? You know. But seriously, we kidded about that. But you know, when you think about it as permanent, you know, they grew up in that home just like I grew up in the home that Mom still lives in. And I can't imagine it ever going away. But one day, if somebody doesn't stay in it and keep fixing it back up, and even then, one day, it may be completely gone. It may be completely gone. Everything we have here is just a booth. Nothing more. It's going away. I like that Feast of Tabernacles. But also, remember the dual purpose? It was to remind them about the temporary nature of their wandering in the wilderness. But it was also to remind them of the blessings of God upon them in the here and now. It was to remind them of the blessing of God and all their increase and all the works of their hands, and to remind them that they ought to rejoice in it. Beloved, isn't that where we are? We're living in temporary dwellings. We're living in booths that will pass away one day. But in the midst of all the suffering and the trial and the fleeting nature of life, God still blesses us every day. We're continuing to be blessed. You know, those children of Israel who were in the captivity in Babylon, we're told to live their lives, marry, give in marriage, build homes, go to work, dwell in that city, live your life there, because God blessed them there. That's where we are. One day we won't have to worry about all this. One day the temporary booths will be gone, and we'll be living in a city not made by hands, whose builder and maker is God. But right now, we live in a place that's temporary, and God blesses us here, you see. So they learn this from the Word of God. They learn something, you see. And they learn something else about this Feast of Tabernacles. These feasts that God gave them were worship services. It was the process. They had a yearly calendar of worship. You know, we kind of have that, but not really. I mean, we just, every Sunday, we have two worship services. A couple of times a month, we have a Wednesday service. Once a year, we have homecoming, and once a year, we usually have our annual meeting, you know. That can be varied, but that's kind of generally what we do. But they had a series of seven feasts, seven festivals, if you will, that they had to follow on a calendar basis every year, okay? And that was their way of worship. That was their worship service. I'm so glad we have such a simpler way to do it today. But that was what they had to do then. And so they learned about that Feast of Tabernacles, and they learned that they had been doing it wrong. They learned that, in fact, they had been doing it wrong for centuries, for hundreds of years. Look at verse 17 again. All the congregation came out and made booths. And now look at that middle of the verse. For since the days of Joshua, the son of Nun, unto that day, this time of Nehemiah and Ezra here, since the days of Joshua, the son of Nun, unto that day had not the children of Israel done so. Now, notice what he's saying here. He's saying that this is what the Word of God said that they're to do, that they're to build these temporary booths during that 7-day, 8-day festival. But they had not done that since the days of Joshua, the son of Nun. And Joshua was the immediate successor to Moses. That's how far back it went. Joshua came before the time of the judges. Joshua came before the time of the kings, before David, okay? You know, over in Jeremiah, we quote this very often, and it's it's important that we do this. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16 said, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And there's more to that verse, and it's actually a verse that ends up pointing out that the children of Israel refused to do that. But what he's saying there binds us even today. He said, stand in the way and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein. So we don't just go with the modern winds of religion and whichever way they're blowing, because my goodness, they blow one way one week and one way the next, and there's traditions and fads that come along, okay? We're to ask for the old paths. We're to go back to the old ways of doing things. But I got a question for you. How old is old enough? How far back should we go? They could have said here in this day, said, well, we'll do it like they were doing it right before the captivity in Josiah's day. Josiah was the greatest king since David. We'll go back and see what they did, and we'll do it that the way they did it, okay? That wouldn't have been far enough back. They could have said, well, let's go back and see how they did it in David's day. David was a great king. David was the greatest king up before Christ of the nation of Israel. Let's go back to David's day. But would that have been far enough back? Let's go back to Samuel's day. Let's go back. Samuel was the last of the judges and first of the prophets. Let's do it like Samuel did it. And see, is that far enough back? What about the days of the judges, which were before Samuel? And the answer is, it wouldn't have been far enough back, beloved. Because until you go all the way back to the Word of God, you have not gone far enough. We could say here at this church, we're going to do it like Granddaddy did it. We're going to do it like Great-Granddaddy did it. You know, Great-Granddaddy, during his day is when this church slipped into the era of absolutism. We could say, well, we'll go back another generation. I don't know what it was like back then. I'll tell you this. We have articles of faith that we still believe today. And we can go back to those articles of faith, but only in as much as they stand on the Word of God. Now, praise God, in 1847, those dear brothers and sisters who adopted them from the Word of God. I preached through them here at this church. I spent nearly a year preaching through the Articles of Faith several years ago. And beloved, those Articles of Faith are still pretty good. wherever they may deviate, and Articles of Faith or Confessions of Faith, some people want to go, we're going to go back to the London Confession of Faith. Well, that's something, a nice historical document. But let me tell you something, beloved, the London Confession of Faith's got some errors in it. You got to test it all by the Word of God. Until you go all the way back to the Word of God, you have not gone back far enough. I said earlier that traditions are good, right? Traditions are fine as long as they're not contrary to the Word of God. And as long as you don't begin to revere them like you do the Word of God. There was a time where Hezekiah had to destroy, you remember the brass serpent? We preached on that from John chapter 3. You know, there was the serpent, the fiery serpents came in the wilderness. We read about those over in the book of Numbers. And they began to bite the children of God, and they died. And Moses prayed to God, and God said, you fashion a brass serpent, and you hold it up, and all that look to that brass serpent shall live. And those that he did that, and they lived, and what a great thing. And that brass serpent, I'm sure, I wish I could see it. You know, what a historical artifact. What an amazing thing that would be. But you know what had happened by the time Hezekiah came along? When Hezekiah came along, we're told that he destroyed the brass serpent because the children of Israel had begun to revere it as an idol. They'd begun to worship and sacrifice to the brass serpent. The brass serpent was simply a representation ultimately of Jesus and of God's mercy, you see. But instead of putting it in its proper place in their minds, they were worshiping it. There was a time when God said for them not to go out to battle, and actually they went out to battle and they got beat, and then they went to the Ark of the Covenant, and they grabbed the Ark of the Covenant, and they said, let's go out to battle now with the Ark of the Covenant. It shall save us. It shall save us. Well, you know what happened? They got beat worse then because it never was the Ark of the Covenant that saved them. It was always the God of the Ark that saved them. I love this church. I love this building. I love what we have here. I'm thankful for it. I don't ever want to see it to change. I want to keep it just like it is. But beloved, the building is not what we worship. If we go back to the building, if that's as far back as we go, we haven't gone far enough, you see. Until you go all the way back to the Word of God, you have not gone back far enough. Okay, so they were open to the Word. They listened to the Word. And now we see that they were obedient to the Word. Look at what they did. They acted on it. Listen to the action verbs beginning there in verse 16. They went forth. They brought them these limbs and branches. They made themselves booths, you see. They came again and they sat under the booths and they did all these things. They were actively obedient and they didn't hide it. It says they built these roofs on the these booths on the rooftops, in the courtyards, in the house of God, in the streets. I love this. They didn't have just a Sunday church religion. They weren't ashamed to show it. They were public with it. And we're not talking about protesting here. I hear a lot about protesting. Some people tell me, I've got some good friends who are Christians that believe that we ought to be protesting certain things. Beloved, we're professors, not protesters. You know, I'm not saying there aren't times we need to take a public stand against something that the government's doing or for something that the government ought to be doing. That's certainly part of our duties as citizens and as Christians. We ought to be active, okay? But beloved, we're not talking about that here. We're just talking about showing the fact that you are dedicated to your God in a public way. They acted on it. And then they celebrated it. Look at the end of chapter of verse 17. It says, after it says, all the congregation of them that were come out again made booths, and they sat under the booths. They said, since the days of Joshua, they hadn't done that. And there was very great gladness. That word great gladness means great mirth, great festivity, great joy, great rejoicing. Beloved, I've heard my brothers preach on this before, how God is the God of the festival. If your religion is a dour drudgery, something's wrong with your religion. Now, we're not talking about leaping over pews and rolling down the aisle. But I'm telling you, beloved, we ought to feel some joy in our beliefs. We ought to feel some joy in our worship service. They were glad. There was a very great gladness in doing what God said. They had found joy in hearing the Word of God. They didn't just trudge along reluctantly, but they celebrated the Word of God. Listen, the get it over with mentality will never lead you into the abundant life that we talked about this morning. We've got life, yes. We're going to be in heaven. If you're a child of God, you're going to be in heaven. But Jesus said, I've come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. There ought to be an abundant life mentality out there with us. We ought to be excited about life. Now, I know there's suffering here, and I know there's trouble here. And I know your life is a series of mountaintops and then valleys, and sometimes there are more valleys than mountaintops. But beloved, when we're in the valleys, can we remember the mountaintops? Can we understand that the mountaintops of life are coming back? And even if they don't come back, the greatest mountaintop of all is waiting for us one day when He takes us home to be with Him. They celebrated it. And they continued in it. Verse 18 says, day by day, from the first day until the last day of this festival, they read the book of the law and kept the feast and had a solemn assembly on the last day. They didn't stop with just one great service. They just kept it going all week. They followed exactly what God said to do in regard to this feast. And I want you to notice, there's no way you can describe this as anything other than a revival. A revival among the people of God. And this revival began with the Spirit of God working through the Word of God. And that's the way it continued. This kind of reminds me of what I read in Acts 2:42. It says, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in breaking of bread and fellowship and in prayers. And you know what it was that brought them together and kept them going? It was the Spirit of God. I want to say to you this evening, beloved, that any so-called revival that's more about feelings than about the Word of God is not a true revival. Any so-called revival that doesn't lead to a return to the Word of God is not really a revival at all. I hear a lot about revivals that start and go on and on and on. I hear a lot about situations where there's a continual supposed outpouring of the Spirit of God. And my only question when I read about something like that is, are they getting back to the Word of God? As we heard this morning, we're led by the Spirit of God. But you know how He leads? He leads us in accordance with His Word. He doesn't lead us contrary to it. Revival occurred here, and it sustained because they stayed in the Word of God. And you know, that reminds me of 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. He said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Occasionally throughout history, you read about how God burdens His people to pray and to search the Scriptures and repent, and how the spiritual revival tends to break out in situations like that. Well, beloved, we're still living in history. We've experienced it here. When this revival here occurred at Zion Church, it wasn't because we came up with some neat little plans and some gimmicks and bought into the latest fad. It was because some people had been praying, and Lorraine and others, and it was because when we all came together, we just came together to simply preach and pray and sing and fellowship and seek the Lord's blessing. And what a blessing it's been. That's what happened to them. And there was very great gladness. You know what? There's been very great gladness here at Zion Church. And there can be very great gladness anywhere among any of God's people where they go back to the Word of God and they seek the old paths and go back all the way, not to what Granddaddy did, but to what our Father in Heaven commanded.
Thank you for joining us today on the Gospel of Grace podcast. We hope you'll join us again tomorrow when we'll present another message of God's sovereign grace. In the meantime, if you have any questions or would like to contact us, please go to the website at zionpbc.com, where you can subscribe and get email updates every time a new sermon or any announcements are posted. Also, you can contact me directly at jchrismccool@gmail.com. That's the letter jchrismccool@gmail.com. Again, thank you for joining us today on the Gospel of Grace podcast, and may the Lord bless you is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.